Yo,
what's up?
My name's Osagi
and my name is Chris,
and this is Prophetic Foolishness. What's up? Welcome back.
Hey.
Welcome on, welcome all. Yo. So listen, if this is your first time here and you don't know what's going on, this is Prophetic Foolishness. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, those of you who've been rocking with us, you know, shout out to the Prophetic Foolishness fam.
Shout out.
You know,
shout
first
out.
And foremost, that's the close-knit people. And if you want to get a part of that, listen, it's important. You got to follow the podcast. You got to be listening. You got to be up to date. You got to know what's going on.
You got to.
So the Prophetic Foolishness fam, we got to give y'all love first and foremost.
Love all over the world.
You know what I'm saying?
We
but
love
you know,
y'all.
This is what we do here at Prophetic Foolishness. We keep our ears down to the streets. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And we serve consistent 5-course delicious dishes of
discussion
every single week. You
every
know you're gonna
time.
Get a 5-course
meal.
Bro, so if this is your first time, Chris, you know what I'm saying, they want to know, who are we, what's Prophetic Foolishness, what we do here.
So this is Prophetic Foolishness,
mm-hmm.
where we talk about uncommon topics that might engage with the common person,
mm-hmm.
and give them a space to challenge societal norms,
man. And that's what we do here, man. If you've been rocking with us season 4 so far, man, we've really been going in and we're asking the questions that you guys want to hear, whether you know it or not. We're gonna keep asking the same questions, man, and we're really gonna like go there. You know, if there's anything we want to do this season, is we really want to go there. We want to be vulnerable. We want to ask questions that you guys maybe might be thinking about,
yep.
that, you know, maybe the culture is really talking about, and we're not really, you haven't had the space to break it down. So this is a place to do so. And so yeah, today,
we are excited to bring another voice to the podcast.
Come on now, bro.
We haven't had a third voice since season 3.
Season 3.
When Queen Libby came on and blessed us with her perspective.
Come on. Y'all liked her more than you liked us.
So today, we bring you another special guest.
Uh-huh.
Our homie, none other than Juwan Kim.
Yeah.
What's up, Juwan? Say what's up to the pod. Who are you, Juwan?
What's up? My name is Juwan Kim. I am from Denver, Colorado. I gotta represent.
Represent.
Yes, sir.
And the playoffs this year.
That's how it is. And I'm a local pastor here as well.
Come on.
And church planting. And
boom.
That's kind of who I am.
Yeah.
And, man, I thank you guys for bringing me on.
For sure,
bro.
For sure.
We're super excited to have you here, bro.
First yellow skin in the basement.
Here he goes.
I don't even know where that's from.
That's from NC Gen BET Fridays. You know
what? Oh, BET Fridays. BET Fridays.
Put Asian brother. That's
BET, come on.
BET Fridays.
Hey, so you just show, you an OG. You showing your age out here, bro.
You showing your age.
LOL, bro. But listen, bro. Big shout out. Thank you for blessing us with your presence here at the podcast today, man. I definitely think it's not only timely, but relevant to have you on the podcast.
Yeah.
And really have your voice, your personality, all that, bro.
Your perspective, for sure. Seeing that this month is AAPI month, so
what is AAPI?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
So AAPI, I mean, it's Black History Month, but for Asians. I mean, y'all got a whole month.
Come on.
So I mean, we got to learn about life from the Asian perspective this month. At least think about it. So
yeah, bro.
Yeah,
I appreciate y'all
for sure.
Giving this perspective.
Yeah. If anything, man, you know, at this podcast here at Prophetic Foolishness, we definitely want to give voices to the people who might not get the same voices, or give opportunity to use this platform to bring awareness, or like give voice or conversation, like we keep saying, conversation starters that are needed, well, however serious or ever not serious, man. And so,
but all the things that might challenge societal norms,
facts,
and
bro.
And this so, being one of them. So.
Exactly, bro. We ain't even started yet. Exactly, bro. Well, I mean, I'll go ahead and get us started, man, for our delicious dish of discussion today, man.
What we got for the people today,
man? So, as you guys might know, in the recent last, I would say, month or two, I definitely think there has been a huge awareness and an upliftment, if not in the media, towards the heinous crimes that have been going on in the Asian community.
Against
the Asian community. And I say, I want to be very, you know, this is the beauty of having Juwan here today, but like what we're seeing is, like, you see in the NBA, like, they're getting a lot, the NBA players are using their voices. You're seeing on social media, people are using their voices. You're seeing on Instagram, all these different places. You're seeing in the government that this play, these People are using their platforms to get voices to maybe the marginalized. And so I think with that, you know, I really just wanted to top it off. Like, me and Chris can only speak so much to, you know, what's going on in the Asian community. Because, I mean, we only get to see it from a distance. But you, Juhan, being Asian, man, I would love for you to just kind of like set it up, man. Tell like what's been going on, you know, in the Asian community, and why does it feel like we're just now maybe hearing about it?
And you know, thank you for this platform. And man, it's been crazy, man. It's been a couple crazy months. And like, I love how you guys were talking about grief, you know, a couple weeks ago. Understanding that grief, and in a lot of ways, I feel like that's what's happening in the Asian community. It's like we're going through a grieving process because what's happening in the nation because of COVID and the blame that Asians got from people saying that it originated in China. And man, it's crazy because like we in Atlanta, you see like this guy shooting up a place, and that might not have been a racial thing, but it was still some stigma. We can get into that and chop that up in a little bit. But man, it's crazy because we see in from San Francisco and New York, like the elderly are getting attacked.
For sure,
Like, that's my mom.
That's my grandma. Or your grandma,
For sure. And it's cowardly because they're, like, hitting them from behind, stomping on them, and people are just watching, you know, the elderly.
All this unfold.
Do you feel like this is something that is new, or do you think that this is something that has been going on in the Asian community?
And that's a good question. I mean, for Asians, like, we've always had to always put our head down. So, like, growing up, you know, like, it's crazy. Like, I would bring in, like, a lunch that my mom would make that would be, like, oh, this Korean barbecue, which is in now, which is great.
People be on it now.
If you put Korean on anything, bro, it's going to, like, sell that much
Korean
more food.
Korean fried chicken, Korean fried rice.
Don't no Korean people in the kitchen, bro.
I mean, they KFC is... There's a whole different meaning now.
And I would bring that to lunch, and like, I would get made fun of. And it's like, yo, what is that? And it's like, meat? And it just would look weird. And kids used to make fun of me all the time. And I remember going home crying. I'm like, Dad, Mom, like, buy me a Lunchable. Like, I don't want to bring this food. And it's crazy, like, because I would have those rice cakes, you know what I mean, rice crackers, whatever. That's like in.
People, all the gluten-free people love them now.
And
do you feel like that made you maybe a little bit, like, growing up, like, shameful of, like, your Asian heritage?
Facts. 100%.
So, like, where, like, give people a little 100% context towards where you grew up and, like, what that made you feel like and with being, like, Asian in that context.
Yeah, and growing up in Denver, like, it was a small town that wanted to be big, right? And we got made fun of all the time. You know, like, y'all know, if you saw Asians on the basketball court, he's going to get picked last.
That's for sure. That's
it
true.
It just is what it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, and my parents felt it being immigrants. And the hard part was, is like, we call ourselves the in-betweeners. Asian Americans are the in-betweeners.
Okay.
We ain't quite Asian, but we ain't quite American. And every single time, people are asking us to assimilate to a culture that's not us. You know what I'm saying?
So you can't really assimilate to the Asian way of, or the Asian lifestyle. Or you can't really assimilate to the American, lifestyle fully. I resonate with that a lot too.
Being, you know, first generation Nigerian, so
being immigrants themselves. So like, I mean, that from what I'm hearing right now, I'm hearing a lot of a lot of similarities, at least initially, between you know, my story and upbringing and what you're describing so far. And I feel like sometimes people, you know, draw these conclusions when different races are, you know, interacting with different forms of racism, right? Like, is their struggle the same as my struggle? Do they have the same right to grieve as how I'm grieving, even though their walk is different? And so, like, that makes me think about, like, what we're talking about today. Like, does, you know, Stop Asian Hate and that movement, right? Does it coincide with the Black Lives Matter movement, or can they exist together? Are they supporting one another? Are they one and the same? Like, I don't know. Can you speak to that a little bit? Maybe even like touch on like even like some of your background upbringing.
So like, so for me, it forced me to like either, and we're taught culturally to just put our head down and do the work. And me, like, growing up in the era, who, you know, Tupac and Biggie Smalls were like, you know,
big and upcoming, they were the first people that told me that I can be myself.
Man.
You know, they're the first people that, like, you can be who you are. So me, like, naturally, I gravitated towards the Black community.
Yeah.
Because they were the ones that were embracing me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they didn't ask me to assimilate and be somebody else. And for me, that was huge.
Yeah.
But with that was also, like, a thug life mentality, representation.
Yeah. It's like,
so I remember back in the day, like, we used to roll around in our high schools, and anybody that would give us a racist comment, like, I would get a phone call or a page. You know, back then I had a page. And we would roll up. We would roll up and represent. And that's kind of, you know, who I was growing up. But in some ways, to your question, like, in a lot of ways, the Asian community is thankful to the Black community, because in some ways, you guys took the brunt of a lot of stuff that we went through. Like, and I hate to say trailblazing, because that's not that, you know, that's such a bad word.
Right, in
some senses, like, we're thankful in a lot of ways for the opportunities that we get because of what happens in the Black community.
Wow.
I think you bring about just, like, a really dope point in that, especially when it comes to, like, the Black Lives Matter movement, because a lot of, like, when it comes to, like, civil rights, a lot of the civil rights reform we see in this country was on the backs of Black people, you know what I'm saying?
When
you see, like, women's suffrage and, like, all these different things were, like, on the backs of Black people. Like, basically every group of people that, like, went forward for civil rights basically modeled kind of, like, the Black people during the civil rights movement, you know what I'm saying, for a large portion. And so I think one of the, so I heard a kind of, like, to Chris's question, a lot of, there's, you know, as much as we want to believe, maybe there's been, like, kumbaya with, like, you know, when the Black Lives Matter movement, I know for myself, I felt my Asian brothers and sisters kind of cling and go, like, hey, like, we're with you guys. But I know it wasn't all Asian people who were like that. And maybe similarly, like, during this Stop Asian Hate movement, there have been probably some brothers, a lot of Black brothers and sisters who've come beside you. But maybe you might not have felt that from all Black people. So, like, can you speak to that? Like, what has that been like? And, like, the two, do they coincide? Are they against each other? Like, how does that work? You know what I mean?
And I think they can go and coincide, because if we understand grief, like you all talked about, and sitting in that and understanding that, we can get somewhere. But it goes deeper than that, right? Because, for example, my parents growing up, you know, they were, they saw the 92 riots, you know, for y'all, like, happened to Rodney King.
Rodney King.
The watch,
which is big. But the reverse side of that was, it's like, when those riots happened, it happened in Koreatown.
Man.
And these mom and pop
things,
and they say 400 million businesses were in damage because of
that. The riots.
Of the LA riots.
Right. Yeah. And so the unspoken thing that's in that is, it's like, man, you know, like, those were families. Those were, like, my uncles. And, like, people were affected by that. My parents were affected by that.
Wow.
And that grew, like, a stigma towards Black people for my parents.
For their generation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
My parents are Christian, so they, they've repented. They've understood stuff like that. But I think, like, there's like, levels of onion and complexities that are happening in a situation like that, because we want to be able to walk with y'all and sit in that and be united.
But
but it's hard too, because history doesn't allow us to do that in some ways, you know?
That's a really good point, man. I think we're all, at the root of it all, we're kind of all under this umbrella of white supremacy, right? So we're like all climbing, you know, essentially almost like crabs in a bucket at times, right?
Sure,
it's like we're all a product thereof, of, like, the supremacy of, like, living in, like, a white society, if that makes sense. And so I think the, I guess maybe some of, like, personally, my, like, my frustration, I don't want to say frustration has been, was, like, you know, with the Black Lives Matter movement, right? There was so much pushback from, like, white, to be honest, like, white people. We're like, well, all lives matter. Or, well,
this. Or
blue lives matter. Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, or this. And, like, it felt like when we were just trying to be like, hey, we're trying to get a voice for ourselves, that, you know, there was so much pushback. But I feel like with the Stop Asian Hate, like, everyone was like, cool, like, I'm with it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So much so there was legislative bills that were passed.
It was quick.
It was quick. And not to negate, please, like, I don't want to be ignorant. Like, not to negate that there are still present struggles and ignorances and egregious acts still happening to Asian brothers and sisters all across this country. But I felt like there wasn't as much pushback when it came to the Stop Asian Hate. And it could, and I think for some of my, our black brothers and sisters, it was kind of frustrating to be like, man, like, this is another oppressed group. Y'all ain't have beef with them like y'all have beef with
us. That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
And so I think that's where the question is, like, what differs from the two, and like, why are there two different responses towards Asian hardship and heartache towards like,
or like an Asian Lives Matter movement versus like a Black Lives Matter.
You know,
and it's rebranded.
And also, I think it's important that I love that they came with their own name. It wasn't like on the backs of like, you know, Asian Lives Matter, but like Stop Asian Hate.
Sure.
So it has so much more power. It was on its own like training system. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
It's crazy to think about too, because I think, like, this is the first time I feel like Asians are getting a platform and a voice. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
And we feel like we've never had a voice.
Yeah.
Like, if you look in Hollywood, like, nobody speaks up for Asians in a lot of ways. But, like, what main character do you know besides Jackie Chan and Jet Li played a major role in it in the movie? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just not there. And I understand that in a lot of ways. And, man, I don't know. That's an interesting question, though, right? It's like, because we did get a lot of things passed, and you know, there is movement there. But in both sides of things, it's clearly not there. Clearly not there.
And it's, I mean, even as we're talking about this, I'm thinking, like, you know what? A lot of this has to do with the caricatures that have been painted by the dominant society here in America, right? Like, if we think about the caricature of a black man who a lot of this BLM movement, like George Floyd's death, the death of his anniversary, the anniversary of his death was just a few days ago. And so as I think about that, the caricature of the black man in America is that, oh, this person is dangerous. And so oftentimes that's met by a lot of force. And so you see the expense of a lot of black lives at the hands of the authorities. When other groups are not met by the same or even a proportional amount of force in some of those same situations. But now I think about like the caricatures of, you know, Asian Americans are not the same. And so it's interesting to see that or to observe that to tear down the systems that would be oppressing Asian lives as we see today, I feel like it's not attacking the powers of white supremacy as the Black Lives Matter movement did.
I see what you're saying.
And I almost feel like that the caricatures of Asians, I mean, not are like, you know, hey, Asian people are smart, Asian people are, you know, family oriented, they are
work hard,
career builder, business owners.
Right.
And so I don't like the dominant culture doesn't feel a threat, or they don't feel in danger, so they don't need feeling to take their life. But also some people say that Asian people are weak, and so now they're being targeted or attacked. And so, like, I don't know, it's just an interesting dichotomy, and I feel like people are okay with supporting Stop Asian Hate because it doesn't really affect their day-to-day way of life.
So that's a good point, bro. And I think, like, if we're going to solve everything or understanding things, I was listening to a podcast, and this is like a glimpse and a start of things. It's like, I think people are bad at understanding the narrative. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and what we need to do is we need to listen to one another and be able to understand the narrative.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So that's good.
I think in a lot of ways, that's like, that's what's not happening because we live in a consumeristic world where we don't want to do that. You know, we don't want to understand the narrative. And like, that's the beauty of what even this cast is representing. It's like, well, you know what? Let's understand some of that narrative and have that conversation.
Man, that's good, bro.
You know,
let me ask you a question, Juhan. Did you feel like, and I want you to get like really granular here, but did you feel in the Stop Asian Hate campaign or movement, like, did you feel support from the black community?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So I think, you know, again, I'm not a representation of all Asians.
Yeah.
You know, I think I'm a little different. Culturally, I'm different. You know, I have a lot of, you know, black friends and that who I can relate with and who can call me. So you guys know, you know, our pastor Tori, like when all that stuff came down, he was the first person that reached out. I'm like, hey, bro, you doing all right?
Wow.
And, you know, that meant a lot to me.
Right,
you
know, right.
Because they can relate. He can understand. And man, I think that's an interesting ideal. And I relate in some weird ways because it's like, you know, like I always hear my black friends telling me that, oh, my parents had to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we ain't talking about, we ain't talking about sex. We ain't talking about that. Okay.
Like, so what does that mean? What's that talk? The spare your life talk. Yeah, exactly. Like the come home safe to me talk. Yeah.
And I think like this is the first time that I actually thought about like, oh man, maybe I need to have that with my son. And by what's happening
here. Yeah.
So in that's in that way I did feel support because who else can relate to that?
Yeah.
Else can relate to that in some ways? Like you know, call my black friend and be like, yo, what did that look like? What is that process?
Yeah.
And you know, like and you know, when he was telling me, but one crazy thing is like it's different too because right now what's happening to our parents, like that's something that he never really thought of. And it's like, man, do you think about like your mom or your dad going out for a walk?
Yeah.
Like something's going to happen to them.
Yeah. Wow.
You know,
wow.
And for me, like I was like, dang, that's a good perspective. Cause my mom was visiting and she goes on for these walks, you know, and it crossed my mind every single night. Like,
yeah,
is something gonna happen to her?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But I was able to relate with him. He was able to relate with me.
Wow.
And the thing that I appreciated, like, he didn't like preach nothing to me.
Yeah, man.
He just like sat with me.
That's a good word, bro.
You know what I mean? And he was like, "Man, it sucks."
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, and I'm sorry. And without even saying much, he was able to relate to me in ways that I feel like a lot of people can't.
Wow.
And so in that way, I felt like there's a narrative that even without words that was being said
for sure
that united us in beginning to understand what was happening.
Man, that reminds me of this phrase that I learned maybe from one of my old mentors or something like that. And basically it says that like strengths breed competition, but pain builds community.
Wow.
And because everyone can identify with the struggle in some way, shape, or form. And so I mean that what you said strikes a chord with me because I feel like what was happening in that conversation that you were having is that there are two similar types of pain and that was uniting two people groups. Where there might not have been that strong connection before.
A little different.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's the same.
It's still, if you can identify with that pain, there's a community built there where it's I can empathize with what you're going through.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is facts, dog.
Yeah.
Like really true.
I think, man, I'm just kind of chewing on all this, man. I think it's, like you said earlier, the narrative, I think there's a lot of like, negative narratives that go with the Asian community that like have been gone with the Asian community that lead to a lot of like ignorant like crimes.
That's good, bro.
That have like led to like the loss of lives and like how people don't understand how like the danger of like negative narratives can like actually end people's lives.
You know what I'm saying? So like
the over masculization or like the over dangering of like black men, we've seen how like it can like take the lives of like our brothers who just look like us, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Similarly, one that I know happened in Atlanta. I think Atlanta was like the over sexualization of Asian women.
Oh, you know for sure.
And like
for
how media has played into this and like with movies and and shows and whatever the case may be that it's now been forced that like Asian women are like seducers or like over sexualized
or they're items to be possessed
and how dangerous how dangerous, how painful and how hurtful that can actually be to the Asian community.
And that was a big thing because I felt like a lot of people were saying it's like it's not a race thing. And you know, like I was talking to my wife Christine and she was like, how is it not a race thing?
Absolutely,
right? Like they over-sexualizing women. The language that's being used there is like, I want to get rid of my temptation.
So bring a little clarity. Sorry, I don't know if everyone knows what happened in Atlanta. What happened in Atlanta? What took place?
Yeah, so this guy, I forgot even his name.
Yeah.
But he was trying to cleanse himself from the temptation of pornography and what that represents. So he went to this like massage parlor and just shot up the place. And I think like six women passed away from that.
Yeah. I think his pornography addiction was towards, he watched a lot of like Asian oriented pornography.
Right.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to Christina. I was like, man,
Christine's like, his wife. Just his wife.
And she was saying to me, like, how hard that was. Yeah. Because it's like, man, what does that mean? Because I think in a lot of ways, when you think of Asian women, you think of someone that's submissive. Mm-hmm. You think of somebody mm-hmm. that is well-mannered mm-hmm. and all these different mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. And, like, Asian women are over-sexualized. And, like, mm-hmm. she felt like she didn't have a voice.
Man.
Because people were saying that it's not a race thing. And it's yeah. like, no, how is it not?
Yeah.
yeah.
And I remember, like, man, that was hard for her.
Yeah.
It was, like, really hard for mm-hmm. her to process that and go through that. And mm-hmm. I was like, man. That's like it really was hard.
Yeah,
in yeah.
a lot of ways.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah,
thanks. I guess going forward, man, like with in the topic of this, I think the beauty of this podcast, mm-hmm. or even the beauty of like platforms, is like mm-hmm. you're actually finally bringing discussions to the table.
Facts
that right. people sometimes Facts. Either have in the back of their heads mm-hmm. or don't have mm-hmm. to face head on. So mm-hmm. now it's like, look, the dish is on the table.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Where do we go from here? Now that you have yeah. people's attention, yeah. you're like, look, we have brought question. Light to this.
Right.
Where do you think we go as a people to continue yeah. to like
yeah.
stop Asian hate, but to like shed yeah. light, if that makes sense going forward?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think like, I want to read something like an article mm-hmm. that I kind of like came up with. And I saw this, and someone was writing about this on, the Gospel Coalition mm-hmm. was saying how, for them, this was an Asian woman mm-hmm. saying that, like, throughout Scripture, why she relates to Scripture and the narrative of God and mm-hmm. Christ is that, you know, she feels like God sees her,
mm-hmm.
right? And she uses the example of Hagar, who is somebody that was, like, thrown out in mm-hmm. a lot of ways, Abraham's mistress or mm-hmm. you know, someone there. And it says, like, Hagar praised God for being a God of seeing, mm-hmm. is what Genesis 16:13 says.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus, like, uncovered the shame of the Samaritan woman at the well,
mm-hmm.
where she didn't want to be seen, mm-hmm. but Jesus went out of her way.
To see her.
To go see her.
Yeah.
Which was huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we see that throughout all things and what Christ represented and... even the religious outsider who was a Jew,
yeah.
who was an outsider, but was bleeding, like literally. And what did Jesus do when she was healed? Was the first thing he said was daughter
mm-hmm.
and re-identifying
yeah.
with this person.
Yeah.
And I think like in a lot of ways, like that's kind of where I feel like what people need to do is like we need to see each other.
Man.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. And why I'm Christian is because I felt like God saw me.
Mm-hmm.
Like where I felt like my identity was not quite again in betweener. I wasn't quite, you know, Asian. I wasn't quite American. Where Christ was saying, like, hey, don't you know it don't matter? You're my child.
Yeah.
And I see you,
Drew. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's cool.
And for me, like, wow, that was
that's good,
that, that for me was a sense of identity because I felt like I was seen.
Man.
And I'm seen by our creator.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in a lot of ways, that's not what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I remember I called y'all when mm-hmm. Black Lives Matter were happening. Mm-hmm. I was like, hey, let's just discuss this because mm-hmm. I was preaching, I was preparing something. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I was like, let me sit, let me just listen.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys mm-hmm. gave me a perspective. And I don't know, like, did you guys feel seen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's 100% true. Yeah. yeah.
And mm-hmm. it reflected in my sermon
yeah. Yeah.
I was preaching.
Yep. Yeah.
And I think, like, that's what needs to happen. It's like, man, we need to understand the narrative, see each other, hear each other mm-hmm. and grieve
together.
Wow.
Come on, bro. That's so good.
That's dog. Good.
That's good. I know this ain't, you know, you dang near gave. If this was a sermon, bro, you can use yeah. it again.
No,
I know. You can yeah. use it again, bro.
Yeah. Our podcast, right? Mm-hmm. We're here to discuss these uncommon topics mm-hmm. that will challenge societal norms. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking to myself, like, who can I be having this conversation mm-hmm. with, right? Like, mm-hmm. who should I be having this conversation with? Mm-hmm. Or like, I don't know. I'm thinking about my Asian friends that I know that I could.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of being challenged myself to reach out and mm-hmm. do what our podcast says and maybe have one of these yeah. types of conversations.
And that goes a long way, man. Mm-hmm. That goes a long way because I feel like, you know, Asians feel like we're not seen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the big thing
yeah.
you know, for you to do that.
It yeah. means a lot. I think even this is making me self-reflect and even like not only outwardly but inwardly and being that we need to take these conversations into our homes too. Like
mm-hmm.
not, this isn't just like a,
yeah.
similarly with how, like I know one of the things me and Chris, you know, we talked about this was like, one of my biggest things during was like black, like white people, all people need to take the conversation about what's happening to black people into their house and challenge the way black people are seen and spoken of. Similarly, all people need to take these conversations and challenge the way that Asian people are seen and spoken of in their households.
Yeah, this isn't just
a white people thing. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's one thing that's like challenging for me. It's like, you know, growing up in whatever household, I can be pretty vulnerable in a Nigerian household. Like, Asians were not always honored. They were honored in the ways that, like, in the positive, like, oh, they're great students. Or, hey, like, hang out with Asian kids because they get, like, really good grades.
They smart. They go to Harvard.
You know what I'm saying? But, like, there's, like, even just the small negative connotations that, like, can be implanted have, like, shockwave generational effects.
For sure. I mean, even, like, thinking what you're saying, Osagie, like, it's important to have those conversations because I'm reminded of a quote by MLK. He said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Right.
And so if we're allowing injustices to even exist in the way how we live our lives, or we're not addressing those injustices,
I think
it's a threat to our own, our own pursuit of justice. So,
Man, if anything, really, and if you guys are listening to this, man, I challenge you to don't just leave this here. Take this conversation to your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your wife, your mama, your daddy, your roommate, you know what I'm saying? Your neighbor who you barely talk to. Yeah. You know, really take these conversations and like let them be conversation starters, man. It's our desires that, you know, you guys will not only spread the prophetic foolishness family, but actually have these conversations. We want to hear what you think. You know, if this was encouraging for you, man, share this to your Instagram story and be like, man, thanks. You know what I'm saying? You know, y'all follow my boy Juhan. What's your, do you have any socials for people?
No, dog, I don't right now.
Okay, no socials, bro. If you want, just shout out Juhan. This, I don't know, bro. You know what I'm saying? You can give me a wife tag if you want to tag me. There we go, bro. There's no way to find him. Just DM us.
Yeah.
DM us if you want to find him, bro.
Just tag Prophetic Foolishness.
At Prophetic Foolishness.
We'll show him next time we see him.
Just bring him back on the cast.
Hey, no problem, bro. But for real, man, keep rocking with us, man. Like, I promise you, this is just the beginning of season four, man. It's only going to get better from here, man. We're having the conversation. Yeah. Delicious dishes of discussions from top to bottom, man.
For sure.
All heat, you know, all flames. Hot chicken coming straight out the grease.
All gas, no breaks.
KFC, you know what I'm saying? Korean fried chicken today, bro. But, man, we appreciate you, Juhan, man. Yeah. You guys keep rocking with us. Follow us on all our socials. Instagram, Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music, man, share this with a friend. You guys share it to your Instagram stories, share it to your Facebook. This is how more people join the Prophetic Foolishness fam.
It's how y'all get the conversation started.
Get
that
the
you
conversation
need.
In the comment section. Post, you know what I'm saying? Put what you got to say. Say it with your chest. Also, go to our Instagram. If you want to call in, we have a phone number. We got a phone number. It's on the Instagram. You can
look at
it. All
you got to do is hit contact and you start dialing.
Start dialing straight up. So listen, we want to hear from you, man. It's only going to be up from here, man. We're super thankful for what you guys have been rocking with us so far. And yeah, it's going to be good, man. Signing off. My name's Osagie.
And my name is Chris.
And this is Prophetic Foolishness.
Peace.